Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Trace Kerr.
And I'm Amy Barton. Growing up, I avoided sports and athletics events pretty much wholesale as much as I could. I had asthma. I had bad feet. Running is just unpleasant.
I agree.
In my opinion. In our opinion. So as much as I could, as soon as I could not do it in PE, I totally stopped. I took like lots of band and choir. And I'm thinking now as an adult that it's possible I just didn't have the right sports. I hadn't been exposed to the greater world of sports because there is a lot more out there. I think, for instance, that I have maybe could have been a contender in cardboard tube dueling. Could be so good.
I would totally play that sport.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about some of the sports that we might have been good at had we known they existed. Maybe we'll try them later in life.
So like Amy said, today we're going to be talking about everything you never knew you wanted to know about unusual sporting events.
The first one many people have heard about, wife carrying. You've probably seen a blurb on TV or heard a little bit about it. I know it was a familiar thing, but I really didn't know much about it. It is as it sounds. A guy carries a lady and you go through an obstacle course and you run a race with a lady.
Although I have been to a few of these as of late where they say a pair of people.
Yes.
And it's no longer just a guy carrying a lady. I've seen a guy carrying a guy. I've seen a woman carrying a man, which was really great because she was humongous and muscular and she was an Amazon and he was like a little tiny toothpick pocket man. Mm-hmm. And so that was great.
Yeah. This does harken back to more traditional era of in Finland around the 19th century. There was a marauder who would come and rob the villages, plunder, steal wives, run away. The modern event, though, it took a break. The plundering diminished as society grew.
That's a shame.
I'm torn about that, yes. Because I feel like the ladies back then, that could have defended themselves fairly well, being rural women. The gentleman who tried to plunder probably didn't come out of that unscathed. That's another podcast for another time.
This is taking a dark turn. I mean, let's talk about people carrying people. And you got to describe to everyone, our friends out there, the upside down carry.
Yeah, the Estonian hold. The
Estonian it's got
carry.
A name.
Oh, yeah. There are names to these carries, and there are lots of rules. I pulled some from the North American rules and regulations. It did originate in Finland, and that's where it had its resurgence, but North America. So the Estonian carry, the runner is most free. They're totally hands-free. The carried person has their legs over, how do I even describe this?
Like wrapped around the person's neck, right?
Yeah, like sort of knees. Like a piggyback carry, but upside down. So imagine head is at derriere height. And so legs are wrapped around, tied around whoever, the runner's neck. So they're hooked around. And then sometimes the arms will be around the waist. And sometimes for the really dexterous carried person, they reach through and grab their own ankles. It looked really Gumby-ish.
We're gonna post some video of that.
The videos are terrific. So this is a race, and the length of the course in these events probably varies a little bit, but 254 meters, about 278 yards. And the object is to get from start to finish with carry
with the wife still attached.
Pretty much. And that's kind of the long and the short of it. There's really no restriction on how they're carried. They just have to be carried. The partner does. So that Estonian one is popular. The piggyback works. The fireman's carry over the shoulder. But the Estonian one, the pros of that is you watch these videos and this person that's carrying is trucking along and they're completely free. The person on their back, your head is derriere height. And it's just
smacking right into their butt. Yeah.
And now you're wondering about helmets. Optional in some leagues, required in others. So choose your race wisely. Hmm. There are penalties. You have a certain number of seconds if you drop your partner.
Oh, no.
And the videos show each course has generally about two water obstacles. Basically, this person is leaping into 2 or 3 foot water. Waist deep water, which means your carried person is submerged for the length of that.
I mean, at least their faces, if they're upside down.
Yeah, their head is submerged while their partner, and they knowingly go into this. Their partner runs through, they're on their back, and you hope they don't get dropped. And so there is some skill involved in the person being carried, knowing when to hold their breath. And I really recommend that you go find some videos.
Oh, we'll
haven't.
Have the videos. Man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's also a certain like weight person ratio. You know, I wonder if there's... Mm-hmm.
There's no maximum.
If there's some sort of Craigslist post somewhere. you know, man looking for woman of 100 pounds yeah. to carry
many
an obstacle course.
She's got
to
be 108.
Oh, okay. Not so all, but 109 many. Pounds yep. to carry. And then does he get a response? That's what I want to know.
Let's post one and find out. Wife carrier in search of wife. You don't have to be married in many of the races, it sounded like. So there's no obligation there.
Although that Estonian hold seems like it'd get kind of personal.
Totally does.
You know, yikes. Another very dangerous sport, although I'd have to say more dangerous and so extremely cool, is the Mayan fire hockey.
Oh, I'm so excited about this one.
So it's about 2,000 years old. So it's a native sport of Michoacán, Mexico. It kind of faded out, but now in the past 20 years, it's had this huge resurgence of players. This game is amazing. So it's like hockey. So it's like hockey. You've got two teams. You've got your hockey stick. They play it during the daytime with a woven fabric ball, and it's tied in a loop. It kind of looks like a ham. That's the practice ball. But where this game gets fun is nighttime. They use a wooden ball. They soak it in gasoline and then they light it on fire. And we have a video of this. Yes. And they play hockey with this burning ball. And this one gal that plays it said that it's supposed to symbolize the rising of the sun and bringing of light. And another guy was like, it's so magical. And all I could think of while I'm watching these guys play is they have no helmets, no face masks, no gloves. They're just
no
shorts,
leg hair.
T-shirt. Well, yeah, no eyebrows, shorts and t-shirts, and it can stay on the ground. We watched one video where they flick this flaming ball, which is like the size of a softball, up in the air like a comet, and then it lands in a gutter. They have netting to protect the audience, but it lands in the gutter, and the team runs over, and they're trying to grab it, and then, of course, here's this guy with a fire extinguisher, puts it out, and then, boof, somebody puts out another ball. So they're just playing hockey with this flaming ball.
Yeah, so what you're pitching to me is, would you like to play a game with a croquet ball soaked in gasoline that we launch at one another with no protective gear?
Yeah.
No, I would not.
Yeah. And then you're just trying to get it down
to
the other end. I would. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I would love to see it live. I can't. The videos that I've found don't have sound. They either have music playing over.
Yes.
I was thinking, what does the ball sound like? Yeah. It's just so, and every single person, you know, they've been, you know, my family has come in, I've talked to people about what we're going to be, you know, the sport thing, and I'll say Mayan fire hockey, and they say, that sounds ridiculous. And then I show them the video.
Yeah.
They have fans. I mean, you guys, you're not going to believe how amazing this sport is.
I do think this one falls into the sports fan only for me. This is not one that I'm going to be trying.
I don't really see this going on at like the high school. Like last week we did badminton. This week we're doing Mayan fire hockey.
The teacher's out on leave. It's a sub.
Oh, yes. They're like, I saw this great thing. It's so team building.
It's also a tandem course with CPR and first aid.
Oh, hey,
that's perfect.
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna pitch that.
Yeah, we did the burn unit and we learned a new sport.
Oh, that makes me really happy.
What would make me happy, though, is going and watching an outhouse race.
This is one that speaks directly to my heart. I feel like I could be very successful at this. I grew up at a lake with an outhouse. And so this is, the outhouse thing is dear to my heart.
And when we say outhouse, maybe you don't know, it's like
a little
closet,
yep.
You know, a little closet. And there is a toilet seat on a stand. And then there is a pit dug under the outhouse.
Yep.
And we called them pit toilets when I was a kid. We didn't call them outhouses. But now, so you
they
said this is...
They all have to have a moon carved into the door. I think that's part of the code.
That's like law, right? Although I did see one with a star once, but it kind of creeped me out because you could see out the star while you were sitting on the toilet seat. And that was troubling in many ways. Do they pick up the whole outhouse? I mean,
they do.
And are these fresh outhouses? Or are they like...
These are fresh.
Oh, okay. Well,
although
that...
I don't think that there are rules about the provenance. There are rules about the size. So there's a minimum size.
Okay.
And there are restrictions on how you can carry it. There generally must be an occupant.
Oh, so I was just going to ask. Somebody has to sit on the toilet seat?
Yep. There's got to be. So I pulled the Almont Fair official outhouse race rules, because there are actually a large number of these. There's apparently a lot of rural communities who struggled with the advent of indoor plumbing and the bringing of sewer systems to cities. And there were apparently protests and angry people that brought their outhouse to town when they were forced to get plumbing. And, I, you know, fiscally, that is a big dent in a budget. So,
well, and then, you know, I read this article once a while ago, and they were talking to a woman in, I want to say, someplace in Africa, and they were telling her that, you know, in the United States, we have toilets in our houses, and she thought that was the most disgusting thing she had ever heard. She was like, why would you go to the bathroom where you live?
Yes. Okay, so context there,
yeah,
definitely.
And I thought, well, there's always spiders in outhouses. See, it's circled back to those dang spiders.
Yeah, they're no good.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got you completely off track. So tell me about the rules.
They must be structurally sound, can't fall apart during the race, have to have a hole representing the outhouse hole, and a roll of toilet paper in the Almont Fair.
Oh, nice.
They must have a door, and the door must be secured open or removed during the race. So you have to have one.
So you can see the rider.
Yes, and it cannot be on during the race.
How do they hold on? Okay, we're going to have to watch a video.
Yeah.
How do they hold on to the outside of the... Because an outhouse, it's just like a wooden box.
Yeah, so this says, any device for grasping, pushing, or pulling may be used, except ropes or like materials. So you could potentially put handles on your outhouse.
Oh, you could. Okay.
And you could run. Or you could do poles out the side and dash along like you're carrying somebody in a litter. They must be human pushed or pulled. And you must be able to turn. There's a lot of considerations.
Is there an obstacle course?
That just, you got to get down the road.
Ah, okay.
You got to be fastest. I do wonder if there's dirty tricks. Like, can you ram somebody else with your outhouse?
Ooh, that's low.
For this one, the teams must have at least a maximum of 5 people. And one of them has to be inside.
Well, that seems safe.
Yep.
Please tell me you have team names.
That is a thing, and they must not be inappropriate. They must be family friendly.
No.
But I do think there's so much room for innuendo. But
Team Crapper.
There are so many creative names.
Something about toilet paper.
Something about the paper delivery.
Smooth sailing. The Fiber Express.
So that's outhouse racing. Someday I hope to see it.
It does sound like it could get... It could get dirty.
Yeah. It makes me really happy. So this one just brings back all that childhood lake time and brings joy to my heart.
Oh, man. Well, we're going to go to Ireland and we're going to talk about camogie.
All right.
So there's two sports. There's hurling and camogie. Hurling is the guys' version.
Okay.
And I don't want to talk about them. Nothing personal, guys. We're going to talk about camogie. And it's as if rugby and lacrosse had a baby. It's on a field, like a soccer field.
Okay.
But it's an Irish stick and ball team sport. And it's just, it's so good. It's a contact sport. It's exclusively played by women. They have each player has a short paddle called a hurl. It's about like half the size of a hockey stick, except the end, instead of having the L part of the hockey stick, it's almost like a paddle, like a dessert plate sized paddle, kind of rounded on the end. They can hit the ball with the stick. They can catch the ball on the end. It's completely flat, but they can stop the ball in the air, hold it on the end of the stick, run with it on the end of the stick.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. And as they're doing this, they're jockeying between each other. And at each end of the field, there is H-shaped goalposts. But it's not like an even H. It's like if the bar was only maybe 6 or 7 feet off the ground.
Okay.
And then much taller ones going up in the air.
So if you can flip it through in the air, you got a lot of room to work with.
Yes.
There.
And so if you can get it through the upper bars, you get 1 point for that. The lower bars, and there's a goalie in there.
Okay.
If you can get it past her, that's 3 points.
Does she get her own stick too?
She has her own stick too. Yes.
If you get too close, can she whack you?
No.
If you're puppy guarding
there's nobody's hitting each other with the sticks, but there's a lot of elbowing and shoulder checking and people tripping and getting knocked down.
I do love a good shoulder check.
I do too. And they were calling it the fastest game on grass because they are just, it's like a soccer.
No timeouts and pauses.
No, they're just booking. They're running down to this end and then they're running down to that end and they're hitting the ball and throwing the ball.
I'm imagining grass-stained, bleeding women dashing down the field.
Oh, yeah, because that's the other thing. They wear a helmet to protect their face, but that's it.
There's no arm and legs.
Well, I mean, they're not playing naked, but they have on a shirt and shorts.
Yeah, like soccer uniform.
That's it.
Football, European football.
Right.
Wow.
You know, and when I went to college, I had a gal stop me and she's like, hey, have you ever thought about playing rugby? And I thought, oh, wow, that sounds like an interesting sport. And they like me, so I'll go check it out. And I went and watched tryouts. And I like playing sports and I like contacts and I do martial arts, but these gals scared me. And I think the camogie ladies could take the rugby ladies.
These are also ladies who definitely might be interested in roller derby.
Yes. I mean, they ran like whippets, but they were covered with muscle and they have great hand-eye coordination. I mean, they're everything I want to be when I grow up.
Yes.
And we'll put some footage of a camogie game on the website because you've got to see them.
I wonder if this is televised, like if I have a cable package that includes this. All right, I might have to go digging because this does sound actually way better than, I don't follow a lot of sports for very long.
Well, I don't either. And what I also liked too was that the stands were packed.
Really? For
yes.
the ladies? Yeah.
Yes. You know, sometimes you see like women's basketball and there's like two rows of people. No. These guys were in it to win it.
Awesome. I love that.
I do too.
Girl power. The Irish, super awesome and all in with sports. The Scottish, also known for, you know, the Scottish games, caber tossing.
Interesting sports, like you just said. You know, they throw logs, they chuck rocks. They're definitely trying to get back to nature.
Exactly. That is exactly what I was just thinking. It's guys that have been hoisting some pints and then they say, hold my pint. Yes. And what comes next becomes the Scottish national sport. And that is indeed where bog snorkeling comes from. Yes, let me slow it down and say bog snorkeling is a recognized Scottish sport. It indeed was a bar conversation in, and I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce this correctly, the Nuad Arms, N-E-U-A-D-D.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. In a bar between Gordon Green and a few of the regulars were talking. And I absolutely believe this is a funny joking, wouldn't it be hilarious, which led to them digging a channel in a bog and doing a down and back to see who was fastest.
Because this sounds like underwater basket weaving.
Mm-hmm. Except you cannot use your arms in this. It is legs only. So you jump in there, you pop down in, and the water looked to be about waist height because there's a really terrific picture.
And it's a bog, so is it got like chunks? I mean, it's like you're swimming in like bark chunks, right?
Yeah. You're just depending on getting down there because the channel's kind of narrow, and eventually you'll bump into the sides enough to kind of figure out a rhythm. It's not very deep, it's not very wide, and your job is to get down and back as fast as you can. And
I typed in bog. Oh, and they actually have snorkels?
Oh, yeah. So you can...
That just looks nasty.
It really is horrible.
Swimming in a mud puddle. That's what you're doing.
Fastest, though. You want to be it's 60 yards. You have a 60-yard distance. So 120 yards. You're going down 60. You're coming back 60. You can't use your arms. So you probably have a snorkel and goggles. And you flipper, flipper, flipper. You do a quick... I wonder if they do the Olympic flippy turn.
I bet you there's not enough. Well, no, because your snorkel would fill up with junk. Under.
I don't know, an otter roll?
You know what? And what's kind of funny is I clicked on images, and it looked like I was looking at a farm drainage ditch. You know,
right?
In Spokane, we've got a lot of farms around here, and so there's like tall grasses, and you're like, oh, it's just a drain. And then you see that there's a gal with a snorkel mask and a snorkel and a bikini top, and she's like, raw, coming out of the.
Yes. That's exactly it. That's probably how this started. They probably didn't even need to dig this. This guy's like, why don't we head out to the drainage ditch across the road and see who's fastest? Put your money where your mouth is, I hope.
Oh, yuck.
So if you want to see this in action, there is a bog snorkeling event in Wales on August 26th this year. It's the 33rd World Boggling Boggling? There's not boggling here.
They're going to do the word game while they...
That's what the spectators do. The 33rd World Bog Snorkeling Championship is held in Wales August 26th. Let us know. Send us some pictures. Selfie of you in a bog snorkeler, and I will absolutely send you a brain junk sticker.
Oh, yeah. You get two stickers.
Yeah. One for you and one for the bog guy.
Wow.
And we'll send him some soap.
I kind of want...
Or her.
Him or whoever wins.
Yeah.
Oh, all the places you'd have to pick bark out of.
Mm-hmm. A wetsuit's not compulsory if you'd like to.
No, and you know,
bark.
I feel like given the sport a wetsuit, that guy
that
would
steps
get...
away from the spirit a little.
Well, that, you know, can you imagine everybody rolls up and this guy's got a wetsuit on and they'd all be like, psh. You know, there's no respect for wetsuit guy.
Poser.
It's the guy who walks up and he just takes off his shirt, takes off his pants. He stands there in his tighty whities and boom, he's right into the bog.
Yeah.
That guy would win all the points.
Mm-hmm. I hope to be that I'm descended of these people. It's great.
You know, we do have here in Spokane the Highland Games.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should pitch this.
I feel like we need to go to the board meeting.
Yep.
And tell them we need bog snorkeling.
I would be willing to help rent the ditch digger and make this happen. I would stand there with a hose.
I know. I was like, I would totally hold the hose.
Mm-hmm. We would do it a few days ahead so the water warms up.
Ooh, and it'd get all gooey.
Yes. It has to be a little viscous. I'm looking forward to this. I'm going to try to make this happen.
The other sport that we need to make happen, and this is, we're going to talk about this before we go, is another Scottish sport called ferret legging, which you turned me on to. And I watched a video last night. So the game is you take a ferret and stick it into a person's pants. All three of these guys had on sweatpants.
Yeah, and they all look like Nick Frost from Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, and the ferret kind of flooped down to the bottom of the pant leg by their boot and just made a ferret lump.
Yeah.
And ferrets don't mind being confined, although I...
One of them did.
Well, yes, and that was the best part. The best part is the lady pulls the guy's pants out and you see her hand go in there and she turns to do something else and the camera comes back and there's this ferret face poking out of the guy's belt right over his button. And the ferret's like, "What?" And the lady says, "Oh, no big deal." She grabs that ferret, pulls him out, and just shoves a different one in the guy's pants.
So this is a relatively humane sport.
It doesn't feel humane, but what was funny is I was looking in the background and there's ferrets in pens and there's people walking their ferrets on leashes. And I mean, clearly these were their pets and they've brought them for the pant stuffing.
Oh, do you suppose they practice?
I'm ferret legging. I'm seeing this guy in my mind's eye, and he's at the grocery store and he's got the little basket and he's getting a few things and he's got like this, he's got this thing and it's working its way around his pant leg and it's crawling up and down. I mean, that guy is going to jail.
Yeah, for sure.
But it'll be, oh my gosh.
The grocery store lady will have a really great story. There are so many other wonderful sporting events that we didn't even scratch the surface of. So I look forward to bringing this topic back again in the future. So don't go Googling. Save the surprise.
Yeah, because you had a giant list. I mean,
15 others we didn't even touch.
And the ferret legging was one. Yeah. As I'm skimming your list, and I said, what I don't understand, too, is the Scots are supposedly known for wearing kilts. And then suddenly somebody was like, I know, let's take off the kilts, let's put on some pants, and hey, let's stick a ferret in there.
This is an unlikely combination.
More drinking.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I can't think of another way to explain that. If you can, write to us at brainjunkpodcast@gmail.com. I don't want theories. I want facts.
You want facts and perhaps photos.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. So please come visit us at brainjunkpodcast.com. We'll have pictures. Oh my gosh, are we going to have so many pictures?
And videos. Yep. The videos are going to be wonderful.
And more for you. We've got the Mayan fire hockey and we've got... outhouse carrying. I haven't watched any videos of the outhouse carrying yet, so I'm kind of excited to take a look at that. For this and other wonderful episodes, look for Brain Junk wherever you find your podcasts, like iTunes and the Google Play Store.
We tweet at My Brain Junk, and you can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Brain Junk Podcast. Trace and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know, and I guarantee you will not be bored.